This is Basement Gaming episode 74. Welcome, dear listener. My name is Herb, and I'm joined by my dear cousin Brigham.
Howdy, howdy.
This episode, Brigham and I discuss Overwatch 2 and what we believe is the difference between a DLC and a sequel. If you enjoy the show, give us a follow on Twitter at BasementGaming9 and on your podcast listening app of choice. With formalities out of the way, welcome to Basement Gaming. And we're back.
Back
to Basement Gaming. Some good, fun talks going on this week. What you been doing, Brigham? What you been playing? Are you done with Horizon yet?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I honestly hadn't even turned on my PlayStation 5 since we last spoke. I need to get back into it. I just haven't really been like in a Horizon kick recently. I've been playing some of Xbox, just playing Elder Scrolls Online. I played a little bit of Firewatch. Have you ever played the game before?
No, but I think you've talked to me about it, and I'm thinking about trying it out just because, conversely, I've been playing Elden Ring quite a lot recently, and I kind of feel I need like a little palate cleanser, you know?
Just yeah.
Just bring the stress down significant amounts. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so, Firewatch. I'm not really far, but it's been a good palate cleanser. I do feel like the game is going to start getting intense. When I say intense, like the story is going to get intense. The gameplay of that game is there's not like confrontational at all. Like there's no, at least what I've played so far, there's no like actual action or violence that I've seen. But there is some weird stuff going on in that game. So, but yeah, definitely worth a check out. I think it's compared to Elden Ring, it's a great palate cleanser.
It's an actual just walking.
Scenario. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played Horizon either. Like, it's hilarious because I'm on the last mission. I just need to start the last mission and then I'll beat the game. I don't know why. I think the knowledge of that is what's making me not in a hurry. It's like, I'll get to it when I get to it kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. Last time I played, I sat down for like 2.5 hours. It was 3 hours just doing side quests, just because I kind of want to do as many side quests as possible, if not all of them. At least all the, you know, all the side characters kind of have their own little side quest chains that you can do that, like, kind of give you extra dialogue as the story goes on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just doing those. And I think I'm either almost done with them or done with them. All I have left is, like, errands by, like tertiary characters give you errands. And they're just actually just, you know, little things to do.
Yeah.
Around. It's like, oh, this random person on this boat wants you to go get something for them. And like, all right, fine. So, yeah, did a couple of those. Yeah, we'll talk about Horizon in particular on a separate episode, but I have some thoughts about that game that like very good / kind of annoyed about some things.
Yeah.
But Elden Ring has been where I'm at, but recently Blizzard announced Overwatch 2 is coming out. Do we know when it's coming out?
No, I don't know. Did they give us an actual release date? I don't think so.
But there's been beta keys out and about. So streamers got their hands on it. People got their hands on it and starting to play it again. And it's not much of anything new, to be honest with you. I turned on the streams and the first 2 or 3 minutes, I was just trying to convince myself that it was Overwatch 2 and not just regular Overwatch. Because I was like, what is different about this? Especially because the streamers I pulled up, They were playing Soldier or Soldier 76, which they changed the name, I guess.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, what's happening? Nothing's different. The gunplay is the same to me. The map looks similar, if not the exact same. I think they changed some of the maps from like nighttime to daytime. I think did they add a whole new map?
To be fair, I don't think all the new stuff's in the beta yet. I know they're adding a new game mode. I think the biggest change is it's 5v5 versus 6v6 now.
Yeah.
So if you play Overwatch a lot, you know that the usual meta is 2, 2, and 2, 2 tanks, 2 healers, and 2 DPS. Now it's 5. I don't really know what the comp is going to be like. I do think that 5v5 will help for like the esports. I mean, just as a player level 2, just less stuff going on, you know.
People are saying the comp is 1 tank, 3 DPS and a healer, I think, is what they're saying.
That's good. That's good. That'll definitely speed up the game, because having two tanks can really bog the game down, especially on like the two CP maps where you have one team defending or team attacking, and the team defending would just have like two shield tanks, you know, and just impossible to get through. They get like two shields and a bastion, just aggravating.
So, yeah, it might be like, I think it's a tank, two DPS, like a supporty character, like a hybrid, I guess, and it's just like Mercy. Just everyone just Mercy. I don't know. They're saying all my opinions on this really is coming from a Dunkin' video I just watched today. Honestly, like, he's just saying that, like, it feels like because of its 5v5, it's a little bit more snowbally. That once you get a lead, it's kind of hard to come back. Which, I mean, coming from League, I can kind of tell how that can go. But when it comes to team based games like that, there's always a chance you can win, because especially for a game like Overwatch, where I feel like they expect you to have such synergy with your team, that's just not going to happen when you're playing with a bunch of randos. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe the idea that everything is something can ever be unwinnable. Any situation can be unwinnable, because like, you're always going to have people just going off doing their own thing. Especially when you start winning, someone just like switched to Genji and is like, oh, I'm just going to keep assassinating the back line. And it's like, you're all alone back there, and you just die, and then you lose all your momentum, and you know, they start making a comeback. So, yeah, I think it will make the game different. 5v5, a little less hectic. At least for me, I always felt like the confusion with all the champions flying around was annoying. So a little less hectic and a little more solid. Sounds good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not trying to be like an apologist for Overwatch 2. Like, I don't play. Wait, did you play the beta? You just watch videos, right?
Nah, just watch streams.
Okay, you just watch streams. Yeah, so I haven't played or anything like that. From what I understand, though, from interviews beforehand, the big part of Overwatch 2 is the PvE content. That's what makes it really Overwatch 2. And we haven't seen that yet. And the last time they showed us a bit of the PvE stuff, according to journalists, they say that it's actually really been fleshed out and like looks like it's becoming something worth getting Overwatch 2 for. What confuses me is why they had to package in the PvP stuff, because that just seems like a total like a move done to help generate, you know, hype and money around Overwatch 2 sales. Because at the end of the day, the changes in it aren't really PvP changes aren't worth their own box price, and it's not a box price, right? Like, you don't need to buy Overwatch 2 to get these multiplayer changes. Like, it's all just being part of Overwatch 1. Or so it's really confusing why they did this. I don't know. And I guess kind of brings up that question, like, you know, are these like numbers, should these games be like numbered sequels, or should it just be like a games as a service thing that gets iterated on over time?
Yeah, that's the main question. Is I think this was just, I don't know if it's a smart marketing move or just a regular marketing move, that they decided we're just going to name it Overwatch 2 just to build hype, like you said, and hopefully that'll help drive sales. Because at first glance, this is just, I don't even know what this is, to be honest. I think the PvP changes, that's just a patch. It's it's barely anything. It's just a couple of format changes. Again, that Dunkin' video I watched said that one of the biggest problems that he had with Overwatch 1 was the role queue, which he said, which I agree, they'll probably have some sort of fix for that, where they're going to like have two different queues, where you can either do like a role queue where you queue as like a specific role, or you could just do an open queue where you just go in there and then figure it out when you're in the team, which all is solved whenever you just play with your friends, but you know, that's not always an option. So yeah, the PvE thing, it's like, again, we have to see how it looks to see if it warrants a whole new pack, like a whole new game box. I don't know, man. It's like, I feel, how much is it going to be? Like, are we saying the PvP, the PvE co-op stuff is going to be worth like $60 gameplay or $20 game buy, you know?
It's the same cost as Overwatch 1. Overwatch 1 was $40. So if they make this $40 as well, like, will it be worth that? I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I have zero interest in playing any PvE Overwatch content.
Yeah, me neither. So, I probably want to play PvP Overwatch. So it's like, like, what are we doing? I don't know. It sounds like a mini game. This, I mean, this is the question of the day. It's like, how much do we consider a new box, like a new game, or how much content do we consider just DLC? Because everything about this Overwatch just screams DLC, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't know. And I guess for me, I think the thing that I wouldn't need like substantial system changes, you know what I mean? So like not just like story changes or like not like a iteration on something existing, like a complete overhaul is like something I need to see. I think I say that, but at the same time I'm thinking about like Assassin's Creed, where it's like, you know, there's a new Assassin's Creed game every year and they're not always completely different. There's always some underlying thing that's the same.
But in another, like in another breath though, I would say that those Assassin's Creed games, there's too many of them. I think making them every year is just super diluted, and because they come out every year, the changes aren't big enough for us to like care that much. I think whenever we go into a new Assassin's Creed, at least for me, I'm like, all right, maybe the story is a bit better this time, or like it's a new story, a new character, or the continuation of the current story. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where if they, instead of doing it like every year, if they'd waited like every couple of years, you know, enough time for them to like flesh out a new system and then they still bring out the whole story, I think it would be a lot more substantial, like a lot more substance to the new games. But obviously, you know, companies like to make money, so don't make one every year and then just make minor changes along the way. And then every 5-6 games, you'll get an Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Origins or whatever, which the first one of the new generation of Assassin's Creed was, with like the new combat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
See, like that's a pretty significant difference from your previous games that would be, that I would think would warrant like, okay, this is Assassin's Creed 2.
yeah. Like,
so it's
you know, my favorite kind of happy medium is how Grand Theft Auto used to do it, you know? Like it was Grand Theft Auto 3, then they had Vice City and then San Andreas. And those were like games that had their own new story. There was a little bit of new features in it, but it was basically the same as GTA 3, right? And then they came out with GTA 4. And then Grand Theft Auto 4 was like a complete upgrade, like new engine, you know, new, like a whole new mechanics and stuff. It was a completely different game than the previous three.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I guess we're getting being a little, I don't know how close apart those three games came from each other. Because if we're saying that's okay and we're saying Assassin's Creed is not okay, we're kind of being a little bit hypocritical, I guess. Or just maybe we just don't like Assassin's Creed, I guess. Because, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Like, if you come out with Grand Theft Auto 3 and then you have San Andreas and Vice City, which at face value, you're thinking those are just DLCs. But I'm pretty sure when those came out, they were full price games. I might be wrong there. Someone will tell me I'm wrong. But
they're definitely full price games when they came out, for sure.
Okay, so yeah. So it's like new story, new character. I mean, that's a lot of new stuff. Yeah, it's about the same as like a new Assassin's Creed. It's like new story, new character, new city.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else pretty much the same. I guess it's just they just do it better. I guess what we're saying here, if you just do it well, no one will complain.
That's true too. It's funny. I've been playing, you know, a lot of MMOs, and I see these new MMOs come out that have a lot of pay to win kind of features in them, like buying cosmetics or even buying power. And people in World of Warcraft hate it when they have new store mounts. They always complain the game is pay to win. And then a game like Lost Ark comes out, for example, a game from South Korea, completely unapologetically pay to win. Like there are like these upgrades you can get for your gear. You can either spend hundreds of hours in the game farming these tokens for a chance to upgrade your gear, I should add, or you can just buy the tokens off of the store, you know what I mean? So it's like it's completely pay to win, but people love Lost Ark and they complain about World of Warcraft. And I think it's because at the end of the day, it's like if the game is fun, nobody's going to care about these things, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so maybe that's why the higher ups don't really care, because they're just like, as long as the developers make a good game, like people aren't going to care that we're like nickel and diming them, just swindling them into buying Overwatch 2 for $40 whenever it's just a patch.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to think of examples of game franchises that probably would have done better if they'd just done like DLC or more stuff. Mm-hmm. It was like the sports franchises. That's always been, I mean, for everyone, that's always been like a confusing thing. It's like at a certain point, people get the new sports franchise game, like the new Madden and the new 2K, just because they know their friends are gonna get in it and they need to play with their friends online, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, if we all just like came together and we're like, bro, we're not gonna buy we're in 2022. We're not gonna buy 2K23 because it just doesn't make sense. Because the game is gonna be the exact same. The only difference, the biggest difference is gonna be the rosters. Or like we don't change a little bit about the gameplay, a little bit here, a little bit there. But it's everything you could just put in a big patch, right?
Yeah.
Like a big DLC patch, like $20, $30 max, you know? So it's like, why are we paying full price for these freaking patch upgrades? That I feel like that's a surefire example of like companies just like milking money out of us just because we like the franchise, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It surprised me that nobody that plays Madden or any of these sports games get really upset about having to buy a new game every year, but maybe it's just because those are the kind of people that only buy that one game a year. You know what I mean? So maybe that's why they don't get too upset about it. But
way more hardcore fans, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we have seen whenever sales go down for a game, like Assassin's Creed, they were coming out with them every year, and then sales started to go down, so they waited a couple years. After a couple years, they came out with Assassin's Creed Origins, which was a total revamp of like the Assassin's Creed gameplay. And then they come out every year. I think now, again, we haven't seen one since the Assassin's Creed, the Norse one or whatever,
Valhalla.
Viking, yeah, Valhalla, which was, I think that was 2020. That definitely wasn't 2021. So they do kind of listen.
Recently received, I guess.
Yeah. And the new Call of Duty game, Call of Duty is the same thing every year. And the newest Call of Duty game was like really bad. I don't know if it was bad reviews, but it was bad sales. And there's rumors that they want to not make a new Call of Duty every year. And so maybe under Microsoft, if that deal ever gets through, we'll see them slow down.
Yeah, it's like holding back on the product is good. It's good because you're making the demand go up higher. Whenever you're not just like pumping it out all the time and people are just like, okay, I guess this Call of Duty sucks. Let's wait for next year. It's like, it's not as good as like, I mean, this is the Call of Duty we got for the next 5 years. Hopefully it's good. It's like, it's better. Yeah. It's a better mentality when you go like that. It's like, you have more time to flesh out the game. People have more time to sit and enjoy the game. And you have more time to like patch it along the way to make it a little bit better. And then when it's time to make a new game, you know? It's interesting. I mean, there's a couple of games I was thinking about. Like the most recent Spider-Man, Miles Morales. You know, I remember when it first was announced, we were kind of thinking like, what is this game gonna feel like? Is it gonna feel like a DLC? Is it gonna feel like a new game? You know, because they sold it as a new game, and I looked it up. I looked up the runtime, like how long it takes to beat on average, and it's about half the time it takes to beat the actual Spider-Man game. And after playing it myself, I'm like, yeah, this could have been a DLC because there's not enough newness to it to warrant saying this is a new game. Yeah, it's a new character. It's the same map. The combat is not essentially. It's the exact same. It's the exact same combat. You just have new moves, new gadgets and stuff. It's like, this isn't enough to tell me to buy $60 for it. But it was when the PS5 was coming out. Everyone's hyped about a new console and new. I mean, it did look better.
Yeah.
It's like a remastered version, I guess. But again, it's just a remaster, you know? It just looks a little bit better. I don't know. That was one. I don't know if you have any examples of a game recently that came out billed as a new thing that felt like this is just a patch.
Oh man, I mean, you stole that one from me because I did buy Spider-Man Miles Morales for PS5 and I was just kind of like, this feels the exact same.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a perfect example of like the Grand Theft Auto thing. I mean, it's just like GTA 3, GTA Vice City, like Spider-Man Miles Morales. I'm sure the next one will just be called Spider-Man 2. It's the exact same structure, but I feel like Miles Morales is too much of the same for me to be like, oh, like this is worth it. Like I played it for about an hour and I haven't gone back to it just because I'm not really in the mood for it. Other games like that, I don't know. You know what I was thinking of though? Like there's one game that I think of that doesn't do numbered sequels and I kind of wish they would. And I wonder what your take on this is. Destiny. So you know, Destiny came out, Destiny 1, that had a bunch of DLC. They had Destiny 2. A bunch of DLC, and they haven't made Destiny 3. I think they're just going to like keep making content for Destiny 2. And I kind of wish they just did a Destiny 3 just to have like a nice reset. You know what I mean? Because even as a new player, when I jump into the game, there's just so much things. And even if it's like stuff I don't need to do, the map just looks cluttered to me and I feel overwhelmed. And I'm like, I kind of wish they just had like a, hey, this is a reset for everybody. Everyone's the same starting point. Like, let's go. Kind of like World of War. I wish there was a World of Warcraft 2 someday. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
let's just like wipe everything clean and start at the beginning. And it bothers me that some games like Destiny won't do that. I don't know what your take on that is.
Man, my take is, why do you always want me to talk about Destiny? Rickham's been trying to get me to either play or talk about Destiny for, since the last time I even tried it, whatever that was Destiny 2, I think, or I don't know. It's like a Destiny new patch. Yeah. I don't think so. I think it was just a new patch from Destiny 1 that we tried to get back into. I was like, this, I don't like this game. This is not for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no opinions on this because...
Like, what would you think about like a League of Legends 2?
I don't think it's necessary.
Oh, okay.
It's different because it's like, what? Like, or is it just not going to be a MOBA anymore? You know, like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, what if League of Legends 2 was a MOBA, but like it was just like they reset it all to where there was just 10 heroes from the very beginning. There's no more heroes in 10. Yeah. And they're all revamped new heroes. And maybe they add like new map. So it's not just that same map. It's like different map. So it's like it feels like a new game, even though it's a MOBA.
Yeah. League has, they have changed the map before. They actually changed the map. It's weird because League makes some pretty big changes every season. Where it's like, it doesn't feel like a completely new game, but there's new systems within the game, specifically in the jungle, for anyone that knows what I'm talking about. The new items, the item changes kind of changes the gameplay, and it changes the way you play champions too. So I feel like League has enough changes that saying, we're just going to start all over is kind of would be kind of a weird decision from Riot. So that's different. I feel like, another question I would have when you were saying about like new World of Warcraft, it's like, imagine a WoW, but with the New World Engine. Oh, that'd be like, does that sound?
Wow, the New World Engine would be freaking awesome. Yeah, that's why I'm like, I would love if they made a World of Warcraft 2 and it was like built in Unreal and it was like third person, like over the shoulder, real time combat, no like tab target combat. Like that would be amazing.
Yeah.
And that, into it, you know?
Yeah. It's something like that would have to happen in League, where it's like it's still a MOBA, but it's like a whole different engine. It's like the Dota 2 engine or something, which I wouldn't like that because the Dota 2 looks terrible to me. Yeah. Well, I feel like when I was playing Horizon, we talked about Horizon a little earlier. You still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, we talked about Horizon earlier, and I was a little torn whether I felt like Horizon warranted a Horizon 2 or not, where the combat is different but not that different, but it's like there's also a new world, like a new territories and new monsters. Is it enough newness to be like, yeah, this is a new game? But it's like, how new is it? You know?
Yeah.
Did you play the DLC? Did you play the Horizon DLC?
I did not play the Horizon DLC.
I'm wondering how that was compared to this new game. Because if the Horizon DLC was what I think it probably was, which is just like a little, couple of more quests and new territory, then I guess it makes sense. It's like, okay, we already did the DLC. Let's make a whole new thing. So I'm like, a yes and a no. That's like, I'm a maybe with Horizon Forbidden West being like, yeah, this is enough of a new game to like warrant me buying like $60. I mean, I love the game. I think it's fun. But it was like, sometimes I'm just like, I feel like I'm just playing Horizon 1 Part 2.
Yeah, I get that vibe too. And like, I love Horizon so much, I'm okay with it being Horizon 1 Part 2. But
yeah,
it does kind of fly in the face of what I was saying earlier of like, I want new like system changes. And I feel like there aren't that many.
There's a couple. There's like, you can swim now. That's pretty cool. You can fly.
You can swim in the first one? I didn't remember that.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, that makes sense. Which, by the way, I hit a point in Horizon Zero 2. I can't tell you why I've like kind of stopped playing Horizon. It's because I hit a point in the game where, I won't spoil, but something big happens and new robots appear. And when I saw them, my first thought was, oh, it's gonna be such a pain having to walk around those or fight those, and I haven't played since.
Yeah. Dude, Horizon is a very utility necessary game where it's like, if you don't have the right thing to deal with something, the game gets really hard. Really
fast. I hate that, dude. I hate like that. It's way too rock, paper, scissors-y. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
If you don't have the right like ammo type to deal with a machine, it's like, oh my goodness, will you freaking die? But at the same time, if you have the right explosive type, like this machine is weak to like shock, and you have like a shock explosive, the machine just melts. You know, it's like, yeah. It's weird. I feel like we have a lot to talk about with Horizon, so we just need to hurry up.
We do. Yeah.
I don't have any other examples. I think that was like by a couple of franchises. I mean, the thing, I guess at the end of the day, what we really came to terms with here is that it's hard to decide when is it time to make a new game. Here's an example of a part two that was, I think, was amazing, was Last of Us Part Two, where it's like almost everything was different in that game, where it's like the only thing that was the same was the like the leveling, quote unquote, system, like the pills and the weapon crafting. That was pretty much almost identical. The combat, very different. Like the level design, very different, like much bigger in scale because of the way the combat changed. And obviously new story, same character, new story, more time has passed. Like whenever I played Last of Us 2, there were things about it that was like remind you of part one because it's the same universe. But I was like, man, this is everything is like I'm definitely relearning the game, you know? So yeah. To me, at least, I felt like that was like that's a good example of like, okay, we've improved significantly with our like game design, therefore let's make another game kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense too. And like from a viewer, I mean, I didn't play that game, but I watched. I guess I could play that game now with PS5, huh?
Oh my God, I just thought about this. You have yet to play Last of Us Part 2.
I haven't played it, but I remember they had all those accessibility options, so I can basically just like turn on a god mode and just play through it if I wanted to. But
don't, dude. At least play it on easy.
No, dude, it's just way too much. It's too. You know, I play games to relax. That game is not a relaxing game.
At least play it on easy. It's I played it one and like two thirds time. Like on my second playthrough that I never really finished, I played it on easy just because I was trying to get all the collectibles and. It is easier. It's still a little punishing at parts, but like you could get through it.
But would I enjoy it? That's the question.
What do you mean? It's still one of the greatest games in the last 10 years, Brigham.
Not according to Twitter. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. I'll think about it. That's a maybe.
I would love to. I kind of wish, this is a random aside, I kind of wish PlayStation added a Discord link where you could like stream on Discord through PlayStation. I don't know if you can do that. I know you can stream to Twitch, but I was like, I'd love for you to be playing Last of Us. I would definitely watch that. I would be by your side, Brigham, while you play Last of Us.
That'd be too much. You'd be cackling, dude. I'd be freaking out.
It'd be fun for the both of us, I promise. Oh yeah. But yeah, like I was saying, like it's hard. It's hard to really make that decision. And if you make a good game, at the end of the day, if you make a good game, it doesn't matter if you call it Overwatch 2 or Overwatch the DLC. If it's good, no one will complain to like give you more money. So,
but I do think it sets expectations, though. You know what I mean? Like when you hear Overwatch 2 versus Overwatch like 2.0 or you know like some patch like 1.2.
Yeah,
like completely different expectations, and sometimes those set expectations can change how you feel about the game. So there's always that too. That's, you know, maybe if this was Overwatch 1.2, people would be super more. Maybe you would see a different video from Dunkey. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Maybe it'd be like just like a step in the right direction kind of thing. Yeah. I feel like this is what that would be. It'd be like specifically for that game. It's like, okay, this is a step in changing something, you know, because Overwatch has been struggling the last couple of years. So.
And I miss it. I would love to get back into it. Are we going to play Overwatch 2 when it comes out together?
I don't know, man. I might give it a try. If enough of my friends play it, I'll give it a try.
Let's go. Okay. I miss playing that game. I don't even have it installed on my computer anymore, but I play the crap out of it. So I hope it's good.
We both have these games that we wish are like everyone played. Like, I wish people played more Apex. I would love to play Apex. That is like the only battle royale I even feel like playing right now, but nobody plays it. It's so frustrating.
I want us to play Halo again. That was fun.
That was fun. That's another game that just freaking died, didn't it?
Yeah.
What's happening to these multiplayer games, man? That's next week's episode. Why are multiplayer games just like not surviving these days?
Yeah, what is happening? I don't know. Yeah, it does seem like all these multiplayer games, like, they just kind of come out and flop, or like, I don't know if it's just because like not enough time has been put into it. Like, remember Battlefield 2142? That game went so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good topic. Maybe we'll talk about that next time.
Tune in next time for that. We're gonna try to dissect why the video game community hates multiplayer games all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all we got. I mean, do you got anything else, bro?
Nope. That is it.
Yeah. So, thanks for coming, guys. Thanks for listening, and let us know what you think about these DLCs and part twos of games. Do you think they're warranted most of the times, or do you think if they're just good, then it doesn't matter what you call it? Tell us what you think on Twitter at BasementGaming9, and give us a follow on your podcast listening app of choice. With that being said,
one more thing. Make sure too, when you comment on us, let us know what your favorite chapstick is. Is it Burt's Bees? Is it, you know, the Target brand? Coconut and pear honey? We want to know these things, so make sure to leave that comment so we know that you actually listen to the entire thing to the end.
Yeah, we want to get to know you a little bit better. All right, with that being said, thanks for listening, and come back next time.
Peace.